One of those lyrics was, only Jesus can save us, and that's the truth. Yeah. Normally, you would not see me standing in front of a group of people talking. That's before Jesus. So, Peggy, when I put you on... No, but when I put you on a spot to pray, you pray from your heart. It's a challenge. So the scripture's going to come, but Sue, you said something last week. God's doing something. Yes. Oh, Barbara. Sorry. We're talking about both of you, not about you. Your interchanges between each other. So I'm not talking about you, no gossiping. But you said God was doing something, and he is. And for those that have been here for a while, the change in our lives has been incredible. Things that we thought we knew of God were challenged, like they're not. That might be a church doctrine or a belief, but when you face the reality and truth of Scripture, Scripture doesn't change, we change. And it's just been an amazing growth. So Rick has taught me well. I'll enjoy being his mentor because he's a wonderful friend and mentor. And so a little bit about the church service before you even get here, before even the worship team comes. Rick has been coming for 23 years and praying over the services. He's taught me how to have communion, ask God to reveal things in his life as a pastor to prepare the word. And I've been here several times where we talk about what was going to happen, and it changes in an instant. And so far that hasn't happened for today's service. This was preset a while ago, and it's just even confirmation on the radio on Friday that this was the message to come out. But besides praying for ourselves, we anoint each chair with oil. Each door, like Passover, so that angel of death will not come in here. That people who come in will have that sense like, I belong, it's safe, it's okay. So these things happen before you even come. So if you ever have a feeling like something different about this church, it's because there's a preparation. We don't just open up the doors at 10 o'clock and say, come on in, and at 12 o'clock close the doors and go out. The building's prayed for, and it's more than a building. We're praying for souls that are coming in. We've already spiritually prayed for a net to go across Route 103 and catch the people and bring them in. And they're going to come in just because they don't know why. But when they come in, it's home. And there's life here. And just help us if there's any false doctrines being preached, because we try not to do that. We go back to the Word, and that's our responsibility as a person, as a family, pastor, ministry, anything. What is the word? If we don't know, seek it out. So as I was anointing the chairs, three things came up. Is that the words you hear today be an application towards your life? This is not seminary. The word of God is an application of life. And I will show you that in the real world, because this is an application. This is a computer programming manual. To get the results that you want for programming, it's an application. The Bible is an application for life. That we will step into God, as I will share the scripture later, that we work into, we will develop into our workmanship, God's workmanship for our life, not our craftiness, but his workmanship, that we step into that. Then those unused chairs in the back, it says, be ready. There's many of us, several of us, that are not in season. He's just saying be prepared, because you will be put into season. And it's not to scare you. It's you've been prepared and anointed for such a time as these. The time has not been set yet for us to do that. When I get so involved in ministry, and Carol corrects me, like, you think everyone should be on the same page as you are. Well, sometimes I do. There's different seasons in people's lives. There's different times of ministry. Jesus was saying, it's not my time yet, not my time yet. So for those who are, think they're on their shelf, no, it's ready to, it's the scriptures say, be ready in season and out of season. And if you're out of season, be prepared. The season is coming. Which goes back to Barbara's scripture, God's doing a move. He's always done the move. His children are hearing. And they're getting outside themselves. They're not saying, I can't do this. They are. And they're stepping into a church structure that's saying, someone else is saying, you can't do that. We're the elders, we're the pastors. I'm not knocking, I'm not coming against that. It's just a spirit. When a spirit of God moves, there's opposition. And sometimes the opposition's in the very church to stop it. But don't be discouraged. The body is moving. There was 24 days of prayer in Mount Hermon. We spoke to a church. Now they're going to have a 24-hour prayer vigil. And yesterday we were driving around and the pastor was having a prayer rally. It's happening. It's happening. So we have a... Ken and Lori picked up a card for Pastor Rick and Faith. It's Pastor's Appreciation Day. It's going around. This is great. So, anyone have any announcements before I get going? Okay, good. So, Joey, not pick on you, but how do you learn? How do you learn? You have an instruction, right? Does it do you any good if you don't use it? So this is, like I said, the computer book. The reason I brought that up, before I saved, I programmed. I wrote code. I like it. I just kind of see pictures. I think differently. So I program differently. Problem with that was this is all visual now. All the new computer programs is Visual Basic. I don't know how to do that. It's the same. You still have to write. I don't know how to get through the interface. So I wrote up a computer program. It works for me, and I want to have our company use it because it'd be beneficial to the company and the people in my position to do that. I think I've had that book for over 5 years. I can't figure it out. So here's a personal question. Is there anything in the Bible you can't figure out? Yeah. Right? 5 years I've been in chat groups, emails. I can't tell you how much money I wasted in buying other supplemental books. So use this as a parable with the Bible and don't get it. So scriptures say, if any man lacks wisdom, ask. So that's what I did a couple of weeks ago. I said, Father, I'm not an idiot. But come on, it's been 5 years. It's such a simple thing. What I want to do is taking the value of X and put it in the next field and the next field until there's a change. It's called a change in the default value. When you open up the computer, it's going to say today's date. If I change it to tomorrow, it will remain on that date or that value until I change it. Simple. I know how to write that code. It's very easy. Before Christ. 5 years. And at my job, around September time, I get all my work done, so I delve into this. So it's not just reading books. It's, you know how many times I've rewritten the code, and it's right in the book, and I type that code in, and it doesn't work. So I keep on typing the code. So when you walk in your walk of faith, you see someone else that's flourishing or prospering or things getting done, and you're doing the same thing, and it's not working, and you keep on doing it. For me, it's been 5 years. So until that morning, so you already know there's good news coming. So that morning, I prayed that prayer. I said, Father, you have to help me. I said, I'm not an idiot. I've been doing this. And he says, go back to the beginning. Oh, come on. What possibly could be in the beginning? Well, in the very beginning of the chapters, it talks about this book. It talks about the program. It says, this is what I missed for 5 years. I didn't read the beginning. The new security feature makes it more complicated for the users. So the program has a built-in safety that you can't access it. Until you have to turn off the default value and put the work, your program, into a trust center. And as soon as it said trust center, that was the answer. So now I'm going to switch from my manual. This type of Bible. To this Bible. You see, it's well worn. It's been to India twice. It's been to London. It's been to New York City. It's been everywhere. It's been in Chester. Something in the very beginning. What did I miss? Trust center. For things to work. Dean hit it on the head at his teaching. First of all, you have to be born again Christian. Bottom line, it works if you're born again Christian. First line in the Bible. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Do you trust that? Because this world will not have you believe that. You could believe in evolution. You can drink all this stuff that happens. The basic truth. Do you believe that God created the heaven and the earth? In the beginning. If the answer is yes, and you're not saved, that will only go you so far. Because you're going to come into something here that you're going to have to apply that belief into a program to go further. The scriptures also say, do not rely on your own understanding. 5 years, my own understanding. Everyone gave me the same answer. It was written down. I typed it. I copied it and pasted it into the program, and it still didn't work because I didn't set up my trust center. We can spend our entire life sharing with a family member, just trust in Jesus. If they don't believe that, it's not going to work. If you don't believe it, it's not going to work. If you're not born again, you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit to be activated in your part to have that happen. So that was the opening thing. This is, how many pages? Almost 900 pages. 5 years worth of headache. And at the time, I really wasn't asking the Lord for help because I'm kind of smart. Because this is so simple, right? It's when I humbled myself and said, I'm not an idiot. I know how to do this. And I did. And it worked. I opened up that trust center on the program and typed that code in, and voila, it's there. So what did I do? I turned off the program because it was complete. But what had happened is since I couldn't get beyond that one point of the program, I didn't step forward. So even though I have knowledge of all these subroutines, I couldn't even go there because I spent all my focus on this one thing, and it was 5 years. 5 years. And when the Lord revealed it to me, oh, that was so easy. It's trust. So the music today, hopefully you will pick up on that, and trusting in the Lord. And then the sermon later on is going to be my perspective of what happened in Florida. And it's going to be scripture. So it's not, the scriptures are true and accurate. It's just the Lord just kept on revealing things in my life that would go against what I would think scripture is. And his scripture won. And there's valuable lessons on that. So the first lesson is we can't judge. So that's, that'd be the clue for the second part of the service. So, the opening scripture. Oh, there it is. Thank you, Carol. And that's a basic truth. Do you believe? Yes.
You just said that you were in Florida. That's because you were literally there.
I was in Florida for the hurricane, after the hurricane. So that's my notes. So thank you for sharing it. So, I'll give you Exodus 31:3. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. And that's the word that came out while praying for the services. God's already granted, has filled you with that. Do you believe that or not? The third scripture is 1 John 2:27. And I've relied on this so many times. Because when you're hungry for the Lord, you want to learn more. So I was going, I wasn't doing the circuit of finding out whoever was a teacher, but when someone local was by and they invited me to a home study, I would like to go. So, but this is 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. So when you're born again, the Holy Spirit resides in you and gives you all spirit, gives you all truth. That's not to say a man can't teach you, because there's importance of fellowship. And I went to this meeting, and the Holy Spirit, I opened up my Bible and read that, and this rang so true, because the man was biblically correct until a point, and all of a sudden conjecture came in, and it was, well, was crazy stuff. And I don't understand the full Bible, but I tell you, when this, no, sorry. So, have any doubts? It comes down to faith. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? You confess that with your mouth and believe it in your heart. That's the key, in your heart. The Bible starts coming alive for you. And when you come to those points, 5 years of saying, I don't believe this. Look at all my sin. How can I ever do this? How can God ever forgive me? It comes to belief that you want to be, you want to have that relationship with God. And he's there. He's not running away from you. He loves you. He's died for you. And not being saved, you can't comprehend that, because I would never do that. But God did that out of his love. And if it took someone as hardcore as me, who was so against God, that his love drew me in, and I had questions, and he always answered the questions when I asked him. And when I believed the answers, and believed in his love, and hoped in his love, he never failed me, and he never fails anybody. So it comes down to belief. When that happens, it doesn't say that, it sort of says that in the Bible, but it took this computer book of where you place your trust, in that trust center, and you have to guard it, because the world would not want you to know about God. It's contrary to God. But if it's in your heart to know more about God, it's just a simple cry, whisper to him, and he responds to you in love. In that showmanship, he just loves you. What if you're in agreement, if I do the sermon, because it's flowing, take a huggy break, worship, and see what happens afterwards. All right, so the sermon, there's going to be, I think, three parts. The first one is judge not. Where do you keep your treasures? And the light shines into the darkness. So those, I've been finding out, the more I walk closer with the Lord, or try to walk closer, it's never a single message. They're intertwined. And when, and that synergy is just amazing. So I was handpicked to go to Florida. We had 200 men that wanted to go to Florida, and the boss picked 24, and he told us that. We had 200 men, I picked 24, of course, you're uniquely qualified. Jesus picked everyone in this room who knows him or is about to know him, because you're uniquely qualified. He knows your traits, he knows you can do the job. So first of all, it's a word of encouragement. You know, we're going to a hurricane. I mean, 4 days to get there, and the sun is shining. It's 80 degrees. We talk about a hurricane. We talk about a storm in people's lives, and we're walking in God's grace and glory. And until you get to the storm, you realize, oh, my God, this is a storm. So the further we go, guess what? There's no gas. There's no food. We get to our loading center, and they run out of fuel. We wait 3 hours in line. We have 26,000 people coming in, and the utility had everyone come into one place. So there's no power. It's flooded. There's no food. But they have a tanker truck to fuel up all the vehicles, and I'm the lead vehicle for our group. And I get to the pump, and they look at the pump, and they throw it on the ground. We're out of gas. People behind us pick up and leave. There's no gas. Where are you going? 5 hour wait. About waiting in season and out of season. So we get our gas, and they only brought diesel. I have a regular gasoline truck, and I'm a quarter of a tank, and we have to go to Orlando. I don't have enough fuel. So the trucks take out, with a tree company, so they take their chainsaw gas, which is oil and gas mix. And I get a half a tank. I know my vehicle. Shepherd knows the condition of his flock. See, it all comes in. I know I can get to Orlando, but I probably have a gallon of gas left. 5 hours late. So that's 5 hours. This all happens in a five-hour span. So now it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and we're driving down. We're on Route 73 to get towards Tampa. Are you familiar? Four lanes each way. 1 o'clock in the morning. Bumper to bumper traffic. The traffic's doing 70 miles an hour. Gary, I did the same thing. Why? The hurricane hit that morning. There was an evacuation notice to get out of Florida. That's the reason why there's no gasoline, because to get out of Florida, they couldn't replenish. They're not going into Florida to replenish because the hurricane. 1 o'clock in the morning, bumper to bumper, 70 miles an hour, won't let us into the lane, the traffic, and we're there to help. So we finally get in, and the crews are all scattered because of the amount of volume. And we see cars on the left and on the right just they're running out of gas. And I'm the lead vehicle, so I'm supposed to direct where we're going, trying to what exit to get off. And I'm looking down my side, and oh, that's nice. And there's a car next to me. Gasoline tank strapped to the roof of the car. Gasoline 5-gallon container strapped to the back bumper. Some cars have them strapped to the front bumper. 70 miles an hour. Where are you going? So the scripture is, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Your house is flooded. There's no power. What are you doing? What are you doing at 1 o'clock in the morning? What are you doing? This lasted to 5 o'clock until we got to Orlando. Bumper to bumper traffic. All of a sudden there's traffic jam. We're not moving. Now, our trucks are big. And I'm looking to see, this is a bomb. That car next to me has anywhere from 25 to maybe 50 gallons of highly flammable gasoline strapped to themselves. If another car hit them, right, they can blow up. The car next to them is in the same condition. All the cars are loaded with, well, we think they're loaded. They might be empty. But anyway, I said, well, first of all, mad. What are you doing? There's nothing there for you. But then the Lord starts saying, where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Then I start saying they should know better. And the Lord says, they don't. When Rick keeps on referring that we have an advantage as a Christian, we have an advantage. We know better. The question comes in is, do we put the blessings before the blesser? Is your house more important than the Lord? Do you not trust, it goes back to the opening scriptures, do you not trust that Jesus will take care of you? God has a better plan for you. Why would you risk your life, your family, your children, bumping and bumping traffic, going to a hurricane to save what? Your house? Are you afraid of burglars? The thief? What are you going to do? So all these traffic jams were all the same situation. The exit ramp was underwater, was flooded. You can't get off the highway, so all that traffic backed up into Route 75. The travel centers in the middle of the roads ran out of fuel during the evacuation. People flying in without any fuel to make it home are stranding at the traffic centers, and all that traffic backs up. In the meanwhile, the hurricane did damage, and there's trees on Route 75. And it was just amazing. It's four lanes of traffic, 70 miles an hour, not knowing they needed to get to their home. So then I was getting angry, of course, because now my life's in danger. And I said, this is so foolish. Then I pray for God's mercy. But before I did that, he starts telling me that they don't know. They don't know. We have people that are headlong going to eternal death. And I'm angry at them because they don't know what to do, and so it's missing the picture. How can they, how can I be a light? And my vehicle, I really couldn't, but prayer. Prayer. So I asked for forgiveness for myself, because in my walk, in my life, how many times have I put my blessing over Jesus and over God? I thank him for my life, my family, employment situations, whatever he's given me. At times that becomes my idol, and I would rather protect my blessing than acknowledging Jesus. If he says, Tom, I was going to take this away from you because in your best interest, would I really be in agreement with that? But when a hurricane comes and that was my house, I think I'd walk away. my sister just bought a house in Jacksonville. And my mom called up as we're coming into Jacksonville. Your sister's condo. Yes, it's in Jacksonville. Yes, they think it's flooded. Oh, why you say that, Mom? The bridge they go over to get to the condo, which is on the first level next to the river, that bridge is underwater. I said, Mom, she's flooded. That's it, Mom. It's flooded. Well, they're going to fly down to Maine, from Maine to get there. What are you going to do, Mom? They can't do anything. We couldn't get past Jacksonville because it was flooded. So here's my mom on the phone. You can tell people about the storm. We can tell people about eternal death, eternal separation from God. They don't know. They're blinded by the enemy. They don't believe that. They have their own thing. And as Dean was saying last week, we'll find out. But we have the obligation to let them know. We hit Jacksonville. We have to take a right on Route 10. Is that Route 10 out of Jacksonville? Going on the elevated highway. Guess what? Jacksonville is flooded. Roofs of cars, all these residential neighborhoods flooded. So how can you tell someone it's flooded? So they want to fly down, and I said, Mom, it's underwater. End of story. And it's like I'm so cavalier. Mom, no, it's not cavalier. It's a fact. It's flooded. There's nothing they can do. They have insurance. The insurance company will have to take care of it. But there's nothing you can physically do to do anything about that structure. So now I'm in Fort Lauderdale. That's where they had us work. And a very exclusive part, all these people built their houses on sand. I should have brought the picture. The guy has a 65-foot yacht. The yacht's bigger than his house. And his house is amazing. Well, yes, because it was almost on... He could ride that storm out. And believe it or not, Lorraine, that was the attitude. Because it was the exclusively rich people that had the money to build their house on the sand. And the day after the hurricane, you walk by their house, guess what? Everything was picked up. All the brush and trees that had fell down was on the side of the road, like the whole city was. The town's going to come up with a bucket loader and pick up all that stuff. But all the damage, the very rich people, you would not know a hurricane had hit their home. The other people that didn't have that much money had to wait for the contractor to come. But the stuff was being done. And there was a pecking order. And the common remark is, I don't know how they get the money, but they're fresh off the boat. They're immigrants. And I laughed at the guy. I said, you know, this is America. He goes, yeah. He says, we all came off a boat. This is a land of opportunity. But they placed their faith on their money. And that hurricane, when the wind wall came up, it came due east, which never has happened. And it came through the ocean, right by the airport, in that old section of Fort Lauderdale. Forget the name of all the roads I was on. East 23rd Street to Hilton. I was right where the cruise ships come in. All that neighborhood faces directly east, and the wind took all that water. They were all underwater. Maybe a foot, maybe less. But it was their prowess, their pride. I'm building my house on the sand because I can. Scriptures tell us to build our house on the rock of Jesus. So that was eye-opening, but the thing is, they don't know. How can I judge them? I know. And I'm how do I minister? Because that's what my work is for. That's my life is for, is to minister. And I really wasn't able to because the light shined into the darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. And my heart sank. Jesus is the light that lightens every soul that comes into the world. If you have that emptiness, it's usually because you're missing Jesus or you're missing it and you have that craving. So here I am. How do I minister? I minister by doing what I'm supposed to do. Honor my employer. Be aware. Be kind. Those are works, but I'm not doing it to be a good guy. That's the change in my nature. So we're basically on company expense report, so the company thought. So you can do whatever you want, charge anything you want, utility is going to pay this. However, the utility down there provided a tent for all the food, showers, linen service. So of all the people of my company, I'm the only one that, well, didn't did not murmur and complain that this was available. Thanked every employee that was there because they left their families to support other people. Thanked them for the meal. Thanked them for the time. At times prayed with people. The only thing I heard was, I don't like grits. Eggs are cold. Everything was wrong. And I'm saying, you have a tent, you have food. It's not what we want. Murmur and complaining. The light was shining into the darkness in these men's lives, and the only thing they were seeing was what they don't want. They don't like the linen service. They're not going to put their dirty clothes in a clean bag for some stranger to clean their laundry. No way. They wound up paying, I think the bill was over $500 to bring to a dry cleaner, right? Because what's the difference? Some stranger took their laundry and charged the company $500. Well, the company's not paying that because the service was provided for. There's no excuse. Then they went out to eat dinner because they weren't going to eat at the tent. And the tent food was good. It's mass-produced industrial food. It's healthy. Took care of all your took care of all your needs. And they went out eating dinner every night, you know, whatever restaurant they wanted to go. The company rejected that too because the meals were provided at the tent. And they said, how can you eat at the tent? I'm thankful. And that was my answer. Thankful. Thankful is provided. We drove all the way down here and we have an infrastructure to support us. There's people around the corner without food, without electricity. It's 90 something degrees. In my spirit, my belief, we have nothing to complain about. I'm getting paid. They're not. They're unemployed. They have bills to pay. They're not getting. They're not employable. The house is a wreck. I can't complain. So just to be the light. So if they don't comprehend that, they don't. But the boy that called me the minion, light recognizes light. When you come from another part of the country and you walk, and people say the hand of God is upon your life, or you must know Jesus. I didn't wear a sign that says Jesus saves or just believe. I didn't wear a Jesus is Lord tour. It was my nature. It was the Jesus coming out of me that people that are in the light understand that. They see that and they gravitated towards me during that whole time in Florida. So, yes, at times we walk in darkness and the darkness does not comprehend. But they don't know. And that was the message for Florida. People don't know. The storm came through, the storm of life, and what was the treasure they were seeking? The house, the possessions, but they don't know. So I can't judge. And if I do know Christ, and I profess Jesus as my Lord, and He's my Savior, and He's my provider, when the storms come, where do I put my hope? Am I a mansion built on a sea and sand? That I can call up my help and say, hey, listen, you're under contract, fix this. Or do I fall on my hands and knees and pray, Jesus, help me. I may have wandered away and put this house before you, and I see my mistake. Help me. And being the light is so much different. The man with that mansion had nothing really good to say about his neighbors. He was very demanding. Several of them were. They demanded service. The people that we met in the stores, we went to Walmart, bought water, bought Gatorade, and brought it over to us and thanked us for being in their community and helping getting their lives back. That's the light, living beyond yourself and acknowledging that. People know. People in Christ know. So it's not a heavy-handed message by any means. Is that we just have to realize who the enemy is. And we're dealing with people who don't know for whatever reason. They're blinded. They've been hurt. They're going, like me, 5 years trying to figure out a computer program and don't get God. So be patient. Flourish where God has us. Resist the temptation to murmur and complain because the situation on another person's part could be so much worse and we have no idea. Allow the love of Christ come through us in our actions and deeds and thoughts. Allow that wisdom and knowledge that we talked about earlier come up. But I think more importantly, as we learn the word, and we've been applying in our lives, allow that workmanship, that fruit of workmanship, come through us so we can do it. Rather than saying, Jesus saves, that's powerful, but Jesus saves, and you combine that with the work. And you please understand me, it's not because we're doing the works, because we're led. So that was the lesson for me, for Florida. Don't judge. Where's my treasure? And the light does shine in the darkness, but with the revelation that the darkness may not comprehend it. But those that call upon Jesus, he's given them power to be sons of God. And that's the hope for Florida, that many people have seen the light through many people that came into their areas, and that they turn to Christ and become sons. Okay? Oh! Thank you. And I'm glad to be home. I tell you, I've traveled quite a bit, been several services. In every church, everybody is uniquely joined. And this is an example of that. That I really appreciate you when I'm here, and I appreciate you when I'm gone. I pray for the church and for the services and for Rick and Faith. But it's nice to come home and share what the Lord has placed upon my heart. And the atmosphere is to do that. And so it's that structure is the free flow, and the Holy Spirit is always, it's refreshing, it's encouraging. Any other footnotes? You're good?
I'm good.
You're good? Yes, you are. You're more than good. You're perfect. Anybody else? So. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. We just do our part.
Be faithful.
Be faithful. All right. So a quick, hug your break, then praise and worship.